Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Say out loud, the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians 11 says, verse number 3, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice the serpent beguiled or tricked or deceived Eve through his subtlety. Subtlety means craftiness, his deceptiveness, his trickery. Words like of that nature. And you can see, what I want you to see is that the devil has subtle strategies against our lives. It says in Ephesians 6:11 that we read the wiles of the devil. So we've got the word wiles, we've got the word subtlety. Then 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for what we are not ignorant of his devices. So we've got wiles in Ephesians 6:11. We've got subtlety in 2 Corinthians 11:3. We've got devices in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Wiles, subtlety, or we could say subtle wiles and suddenly rather than subtle. But subtle strategies, subtle devices, subtle wiles. Say out loud, he's subtle. He's got strategies. He's got schemes. You know what that means? That means you're going to have to be good. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That means you and I are going to have to be good.
Yes.
We're going to have to learn what those strategies are. Guess what? You don't have to study demons or demon. You know, go to the occult and study demons to find out demon activity. The Word gives you every bit of knowledge of the strategies of the enemy that you and I need.
Yes.
And we don't have to be weird. We can just get our minds renewed with the Word.
Right.
And the Word will answer a lot of questions. The Word will reveal. The Bible says it's a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will reveal what Satan is tripping us up in. It will reveal his strategies that have been working. Because you know as well as I do, there are certain strategies in your life that he uses in your life that maybe he's not using that one in other people's lives. There's been things in my life. Anybody ever had an area in your life where you just fell over and over again? Just like, oh! God, he snuck up on me again. And let me just tell you, the further you go, the more subtle these things get. So, the further you go, the more you have to renew your mind. The more I have to renew my mind. And the further we go, the better we need to get. The more skillful we need to get. The further we go, the less we can slack. The less we can be lazy, the less we can just sort of, you know, go on vacation from our fellowship with God. You know what I'm talking about? And just sort of take breaks. Amen. So we're going to learn some about this tonight. The enemy, I will say, how many of you know Satan's completely defeated?
Yes.
Completely defeated. But the only thing he does have going for him, and I will give him credit for this, is he is a crafty booger. Just the truth. I'm not trying to glorify him. I'm just on to him.
Right.
I'm sharp. I know that he's going to try to pull one over on me. He's going to try to sneak up on me. He's going to try to do it in ways he didn't do it in the past because I'm already on to those avenues that he comes.
Come on now.
And I'm going to have to be on my game.
Yes.
I know I'm going to have to be on my game because I know he's going to try. Doesn't mean I have to fall for it, but he's going to try. He's been defeated, but he is crafty, and he is subtle, and he is deceptive. And so you and I, when Paul said here, you know, 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul's the one talking. He's writing scriptures, of course, but he's the one writing. And he said, lest Satan should get the advantage of us. If you read the context, the verse before is talking about forgiving a man that had repented. And he said, we have to forgive him, lest Satan get the advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of his devices.
Right.
So he's saying, walking in unforgiveness is a device that Satan lures us into through the flesh to try to trip us up so he can get the advantage of us.
Amen.
Y'all still with me tonight? Well, what does the word advantage mean? What does it mean when it says Satan's trying to get the advantage of us? I looked it up because I thought, I want to know myself. It means to exploit a weakness or ignorance, to make use of it so that to get oneself in a superior position and use it as one's gain. Did you get that? To exploit a weakness or ignorance so he can use it as his gain. How many of you know he doesn't have the gain? He doesn't have the advantage, but he does have to try to get it. And he is trying to get it.
Yes.
Hold on closely tonight. Don't wonder where I'm going, because I'll tell you where we're going.
We're here. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He is crafty. He's always working. You might think, well, see, he's not working on me too much. Well, you're not paying attention. He's working. I said, he's working. I am catching him all the time in my life. But that's the point. I'm catching him. Rather than, whoops, after 3 weeks of falling for his strategy, going, oh. How many of you know those days should be over eventually, where it takes us all that time to catch it? So, but what does Paul said here? We're not ignorant of his devices. We're not going to fall for this one. This unforgiveness one was the one he's talking about. And there's more than that one. But basically, Paul was too good for the devil to be able to use that one against him. Amen. Satan's devices didn't work in Paul's life because Paul was too good. He's too good with the word. He's too knowledgeable of how the enemy works. How many of you know the Holy Spirit's ministry is to guide us into what belongs to us in Christ, belongs to us, you know, all the rights and privileges, but also his ministry is to bring us out of ignorance of the devices of the enemy. His ministry is to make us good at catching things. We don't fall for it anymore. It doesn't work for us. It doesn't work against us anymore.
That's the day.
That's the day you not only know what belongs to you, but you don't fall for the enemy's strategies to keep you from walking into it. That's when the devil's heyday is really over. You can know all about what belongs to you, but keep falling for Satan's strategies to keep you knocked out, knocked down, knocked out of what belongs to you, and you still are no further along than whatever you were before you even knew it belonged to you. So how about it? We learn some about this tonight.
Amen.
Let's all learn. Are we ready to learn?
Yes, sir.
Could you learn anything else?
Yes, sir.
Could you be like Paul and be better at catching some of these things? When he starts holding a carrot in front of you, like Paul mentioned unforgiveness, you know, rather than lunge at it with your flesh, you go, no, I'm smarter than that. I don't fall for that one anymore.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Nice try, devil.
Yeah.
Just don't fall for it anymore. It could be anything, but that's just the illustration Paul gave in that particular verse. Amen? So, Satan's been defeated. You need to know that. He really has no power. He has no ability to take us out. But he does have strategies, and you and I have got to get good with the word against these strategies. Amen. Now, get filled with the Word, and the Holy Spirit will be able to bring you into skill much easier. The more the Word's in you, the more you know His strategies. Amen. I said amen. When you have knowledge of the Word, you won't fall for things like you used to. And so, do things that keep your spirit sensitive. If you'll do the things that keep your spirit sensitive, you can know the enemy's devices even before they start arising on the scene of your life. And completely master every single one of them. You and I want to be free, live free, walk in complete victory all the time as belongs to us. Don't we? We want to live victorious. To do that, we just have to be good. The Lord said to me one time, I'll never forget it. He said, you're coming into a place spiritually, of your spiritual development, he said, where you are going to see many, many people falling for many of Satan's strategies. He said, it's not that that they're just going to start falling. He said, you're just now starting to see it. He said, so you're going to see many people falling from many strategies. And I see it every day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Every day. Multiple times.
Yeah.
Every day. Well, and then he went on to say, he said, but don't think that you're developed spiritually just because you see it.
Okay.
He said, whenever you look down, if you see it and look down your nose at them,
Okay.
He said, you're not as far along as you thought you were.
Right.
He says, because love doesn't condemn people like that.
Yes.
Love reaches out a helping hand. Love brings lovingly, brings the truth to help people gently, you know, to teach them and train them. You know, the Bible says over there in 1 Timothy talking about ministers there to be able to coach those along who are basically defeating themselves. You ever read that verse talks about those that are giving place to the enemy where he can do things at will in their lives? And he said, ministers are people that can teach them, bring them along so they come out of those strategies.
Yes.
Well, let's look at one of these tonight. Would that be all right?
Yes, sir.
Let's see if, because God really put something on my heart here. I believe it'd be wise to spend some time on it. You can examine your life, amen, and find out if this one's working on you. Because you and I need to get to the place we whip him at his own game. He's got game. You know what I'm talking about? He's got a game. He's playing it. But we need to get to the place where we're whipping him at his own game. Mastering every single thing he brings. I mean, if it's just simply a thought of criticism or a thought of judgmentalism, we're like, I don't take that anymore. There's been times over the years and more recent times, people God's connected us with, that the enemy will bring, he'll bring thoughts and it'll hit my head. You know, I don't think they should have done it that way, or criticisms or opinions about what they, and he starts putting them down. Satan, in my thought life, tries to start putting them down. And I go, and because I'm on to him now, I don't fall for that anymore. And I go, oh, you don't like him, do you? I do.
Yeah.
Come on now. Rather than fall for it for 3 days. Amen. And I'll tell the devil, oh, I see you want me to bless them or send them an offering, or you want me to pray for them, or you want me to speak something edifying about them to somebody else. And so thank you for your cue. I think I'll do that. Sharp. Come on, tell me I'm preaching all right. Sharp. You're not falling for what you used to fall for. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God for the word. You know, the devil's smart, but really you can be smarter. Tell your neighbor, you can be smarter. Not in pride, but just in humility. I've noticed this. It takes humility and reverence before God to be able to recognize the strategies he's working on. Because there are things in all of our lives, our minds, areas in our minds aren't renewed yet. Only partially renewed. So we have to stay reverent before God and humble to allow him to show us things that we're not seeing. Because how many of you know God can see things we can't see? Because we're still renewing our mind. But keeping humility and staying sensitive to the Spirit of God and never having areas of our life that he's not that we're not open to him talking to us about. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yes, you do. Don't look at me in that sanctimony. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But just staying humble and willing, being willing, even if it's not complimentary, if he wants to say something to us. Amen. See, God wants us to be aware of Satan's devices and sober about them, but he just doesn't want us focused on them. You know what I'm talking about? And in fear over them. I've heard people, somebody came to me one time and after a service of talking about some of the strategies and devices and causes that things, people open the door to the devil. And I shared in that particular service how some ministers had, not calling names, but just in generalities, how some ministers had fallen for some of these devices and so forth. And they came up to me all concerned. It's like, man, there's so many things. I said, that's not the point of this, making you afraid.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The point is not for you to walk around in fear. I might fall. You just did.
Yeah.
Fear is a strategy of the enemy.
Yes.
Lock your spirit up. Bind your spirit up. Your mind and your spirit aren't functioning right.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about? So I said, don't fall for that. That's the enemy getting you afraid. God doesn't want you. He wants you to be sober about the enemy, you know, and his devices. But he doesn't want you focused on his devices. He doesn't want you focused or afraid of them. God wants you and I to be focused on the Word. Amen. And the greater one on the inside of us. And the Word, the Bible said, it's a sharp two-edged sword. It's a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if a thought comes to you or something motivates you that is not God, staying in the Word will help you recognize that.
Amen.
Not studying Satan, but studying God, because He gave you all the answers in His Word.
Amen.
Thank God for the Word. It reveals all these things. Hallelujah. So, all right. You ready to get into the one I have in my heart here tonight? You know, Satan really can't operate in our lives without our consent. Now, it might be a consent of ignorance, meaning we didn't know how he was working. But ignorance is consent regardless. Amen. Ignorance gives him place. How many of you know he's cruel, he's ruthless? He'll take advantage of any opportunity he has, even a person that doesn't understand how he's working. He's just mean. He's just cruel. So ignorance is not bliss. Are you here tonight? Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is, well, if Satan really is going to attack because of me having the knowledge of the truth, you know, Satan comes for the Word's sake, the Bible says. If he's going to do that, then I'd just rather be ignorant. No, you wouldn't. Not if you know what the Word says, you wouldn't. You'd rather be knowledgeable of what the Word says and reverent and humble, sober before God about some of these things, and just simply, basically, seek to continue to learn. How many of you know there's a lot of mercy, a lot of help over our lives when we stay in the place where we're constantly humble before God and saying, Lord, what I don't see, teach me. Teach me. And He'll honor that. How many of you know He'll honor that? He'll honor hunger, He'll honor humility, and He'll help us. Praise the Lord. Now, John 16:7, I'm trying to get to what I'm going to get to. John 16:7 says, expedient for you doubtless that I go away because the Comforter will come. Remember that? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. That's what the word expedient means, because the Holy Spirit is going to come. Now, the word expedient means to your advantage. So Satan tries to get the advantage through ignorance. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is our advantage over him. I got the advantage. That should be your confession and my confession. I've got the advantage. Somebody said, boy, Satan's crafty. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit is sharper than he is. He'll let you in on things before Satan can even get it formed. He'll bring the knowledge of how Satan works to you, and you'll go, oh, I see it. And it'll be 3 weeks ahead of the enemy even trying to pull that one off.
Amen.
God will lead us to preach on something, or God will lead you to study on something, or He'll show you something in your prayer life, and you're saying, why is He showing me this? Well, 3 weeks later, boom. You're like, oh, look, looky, looky, sooky, sooky. The Holy Ghost is my advantage. He taught me ahead of time how to not fall for that. Yeah, oh yeah. And the Holy Spirit will make you look good.
Yes.
Even when we're not that good, He'll make us look good. Because He took advantage of just our humility and our hunger to learn and our willingness to respond to Him. Glory to God. We're just not falling for Satan and, you know, his strategies, and he's not tripping us up as much as he used to. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
hallelujah. The more the better you and I are at listening to the anointing inside of us that teaches us. The Bible says the anointing teaches us, 1 John 2:27. The better we are at listening to the inward teacher, Are you with me? The better we are listening to the inward teacher, and we're getting better. Tell your neighbor we're getting better. The better we are at that, the less Satan's strategies will work. Even in the face of some terminal things that could mean death. Because there's always an answer. Always an answer. Always. He always causes us to triumph. Always, 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 always. It's just so good because God will get you on top every single time. But it requires us listening to the teacher. I'm talking about the one on the inside, the anointing that teaches us. Amen. But he'll not only teach you what belongs to you in Christ, he'll teach you what opened the door. He'll teach you the enemy's strategies. Let me give you an example. You have rights as a citizen of the United States. But if somebody ever tries to take you those rights away from you and you go to court to sue them or whatever to defend yourself, do you realize that the prosecutor is going to have, in the court, he's going to, the one trying to, you know, prosecute you, he's going to try and keep your rights from you. He's going to try to, not only is he's not going to talk to you about your rights, but he's going to work strategies to try to get you to fall for his strategy to keep you from and standing for your rights. You understand what I'm talking about? Lawyers have strategies. That's why people hate them, because they're crafty and they're, you know what I'm talking about? But if you get a good enough lawyer to defend you based on your rights, he'll be on to the strategies of the prosecution and won't fall for it. And only if you have a good lawyer can you win. You get a wing nut in there. You know what I mean by a wing nut? A dum-dum trying to defend your case. Some lawyer that's lazy, doesn't study, doesn't know the law. He's not good. He's not sharp. He doesn't know the strategies of the enemy. And he'll bumble his way through something and make the other prosecution will make him look like a fool. Because he can't even stand up and plead your case. You know what I'm talking about? And so you and I have got to be good. Now, not good in the flesh or good just witty mentally. The devil will outwit you mentally. But I'm talking about good in the Holy Ghost. Good in the Holy Ghost. We're spirit taught. We're not mental taught the word. We're spirit taught the word. Amen. We're talking about skill. Skill to lay hold, yes, but skill not allowing the enemy's strategies to work. All right. Now, a couple more verses. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12. You remember Elijah kept telling the king, his own king, where the enemy king was going to come in battle and attack. 2 Kings, just write it down, 6 verses 8 through 12. Elijah kept telling his king where the enemy king was going to come attack. And they would go out there and they'd be ready and prepared for the enemy and take the enemy every time. And the enemy king got upset because he thought there was a traitor in his midst. You remember that? I love that story. Basically, that's the story of someone that the enemy, of course, this is a human flesh and blood enemy, but the enemy couldn't take because they were too good. You know what I'm talking about? They're just too sharp in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you ever thought about it. The Lord showed me that this afternoon. I'm like, whoa, yeah, I like it, I like it, I like it. He's just too sharp in the Holy Ghost. He'd listen to the Spirit, and the Spirit would give him his answer.
Hallelujah.
I like that. That's what you need to claim. The anointing teaches me. That's what you need to claim. The anointing. The Holy Ghost in me is my advantage. Yeah, he makes me sharp. He shows me things to come. He prepares me for whatever the enemy's going to throw at me. The Holy Ghost won't leave you behind mopping up things that the devil messed up in your life. He'll keep you ahead of the devil and keep you sharp to where the thing Satan comes to do won't even work anymore.
That's right.
Amen. 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 So claim that. Claim I have the Holy, I got the anointing. He teaches me. The anointing is my advantage. He gives me the advantage over Satan who's seeking to get the advantage over me. Amen. Then we've got Psalm 21:11, one of my favorite verses. For they intended evil against thee. they imagined a mischievous device and they weren't able to perform it. Couldn't pull it off. Couldn't pull it off. They imagined it. They planned it. They schemed. They strategized. We're going to do this and we're going to do this. Except I got in my prayer prayer closet, and the Holy Ghost showed me what was coming.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I was able to stop it before it ever got started.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I didn't fall for the strategy. Ha ha ha. I haven't always been in that place. I've fallen for strategies. Anybody else fallen for strategies? But it's happening less and less. I'm getting better and better, more and more skilled. Not in my own efforts, not in my own wit and grit and whatever, but in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, it's just better this way. All right, let's study one strategy particularly. I want to study the strategy of tonight of fear before we go any further. My goodness, I didn't plan to take that much time on that. But it was good. You've heard me tell the story of a nurse in healing school that came. She was diagnosed with cancer. And after 3 days of ministering in healing school years ago, kind of thinking of ministry, I could tell the word wasn't getting in. Remember me telling that story? And so I had a prompting in my heart to sit down, just talk to her and see if we could help her, see what it was. Because I knew that was something in her heart that was the word was bouncing off of. And so I sat down, and as we began to talk, fear started coming out of her. And she had, of course, she's a nurse. She had been around many cancer patients. She knew every stage, all the symptoms of every stage. She had studied it, as part of her employment. And she knew all the stages, and she was going through these stages, and she's afraid of what's going to happen next. This is the stage I lose my voice, or this is the stage I lose this. And she's afraid. See, fear is the confident expectation of evil. And it's a morbid bondage.
Yes, it is.
Bible says several times, Hebrews 2 and Romans 8:15. Yes. It talks about fear being a spirit, but it also talks about it being bondage. God's not given us, 1 Timothy 1:6, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And so this lady knew all the stuff. She knew. And when she's talking, fear's coming out of her. Brother Hagin said he wanted to train up in healing school divine healing technicians. He said, what is a divine healing technician? It's one who diagnoses and prescribes by the Spirit. Well, see, you can be that in your own life. You can diagnose, not by medical journals, but by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus ministered healing. He ministered what we call divine healing. That just simply meant he ministered healing by addressing the issues of the spirit of a man.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep. Are you sure?
Come on.
He addressed the issues of the spirit of a man. Let's take Jairus, for example.
Yes.
Jairus said, my daughter's home near death, so forth, commonly. And so Jesus is on his way. And then the report came, your daughter, don't trouble the master, your daughter has died. Jesus, the Bible said, wheeled around. And immediately, when he heard that, he immediately said, fear not, believe only. In other words, he was addressing what was trying to get into Jairus' spirit.
Yes. Yes.
That's how he was ministering healing.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Doctors minister it through the flesh.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Divine healing is through man's spirit. In other words, it's going to have to address what's trying to get into a man's spirit. This flight back from California, this trip back from California, was tough on me. Because as soon as I got into Cedar Rapids, I encountered what is here. The spirit of fear. I haven't been out of it for a week. For some reason, it was just extra. I was extra aware of it when I come. That's not to slam anybody. It's just for us to be aware.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
the soup we're living in is going to start. We're going to start smelling like the soup we live in and acting like the soup we're living in if we don't address what is all around us. Jesus in his own hometown couldn't do anything because of the spirit of unbelief that permeated the whole town. The people that were living there were affected by what was in that town. And so it affected what he could do in that town. I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm telling you what we've got to stand against. Are you still out there? This is one of the predominant things that you have to deal with here. There is also a religious thing here. But, you know, are you still happy you came tonight? Do you remember whenever in California, Pastor Craig Field talked about that vision that Norval Hayes had and was caught up to heaven? He was asking God for the truth. I want to know the truth. His daughter Zona, had 42 growths all over her body. Do you remember whenever he was caught up to heaven? He's asking God for the truth. He's in mid-stride. God catches him up to heaven. And in heaven, God yelled at him. Hey, you're the head of your house. You know, he's really. I love that story. I was just listening to it today. I mean, I listened to Norval Hayes tell it. And so he's addressing him about not exercising his authority.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And he said, in heaven, it was easy to believe. And as God was continuing his conversation with him, he started descending back down to earth. And the voice of God became fainter and fainter. And the atmosphere of this earth that is permeated with unbelief started hitting him. And he said, that easy to believe in heaven became more difficult down in this atmosphere. Are you aware of what you're living in? Spend more time in the Spirit.
Thank you. Come on now.
Are you here tonight? It's important. You're living in a soup. Are you still out there? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. It's not here to rag on anybody because I'm not really talking to you. I'm talking about what's around you. I'm talking about what you're going to have to stand against. Amen, amen, amen. So, you know, we got to recognize these things because these are the things that are trying to get into your mind and into your spirit. Satan can't just put it in your spirit. He's got to bind your mind with it first. Amen. So he's trying to get these things into your mind and get them into your spirit. Remember Jesus said, Pastor Nancy quoted Brother Hagin as saying that if you'll get your spirit where it ought to be, your body will respond to that. Did anybody hear her say that? You see, there's a lot of people struggling with a lot of physical things because something's out of place in their spiritual life. Now, I'm not just talking about sin per se. I mean, that could be the case too, but I'm talking about generally something like yielding to fear. That's being something out of something out of place in our spiritual life. Amen. You know, it's tough. I don't mean this to be, I'm not trying to get sympathy or anything. But the more I go over into the Spirit and walk where God wants me to walk, the more I know. And it's tough watching, they just made a wrong decision. They don't like coming to church anymore because they don't like to hear the word anymore because it convicts them and they don't want to live that way. That's tough. I mean, the pressure's to back off. Just preach a little Reader's Digest sermon. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm not doing that for the sake of people that do want to be free. Besides that, I'm not going to be popping pills to get to sleep at night because I'm under such conviction because God's dealing with me. You didn't say what I told you to say. You didn't say what because you're afraid of people. I'm not going to start getting bound by fear myself. Amen. So, you know, these kinds of situations, they have to be addressed, the things that are trying to get into our spirit. Now, let me say this. Some things people have lived with for so long, I'm talking about fear. Some things people have lived with for so long, to them it's just normal. They've gotten to the place they think it's their personality. That kind of person, I've been there, still constantly having to stay there, has to be constantly washed with the water of the Word to keep those things, so that revelation continues to come. Oh, that's what I've been tripping over. You understand what I'm talking about? Because if we don't have the Word that reveals it, and we're not listening to the Spirit that teaches us the Word, then we'll just keep falling for these strategies. I don't want to keep falling for the strategies of the enemy. Amen. Once the door is closed, see, a lot of times that nurse in healing school, let me go back. That nurse in healing school, after she kept talking and fear kept coming out of her, I realized, I see where. And I took it over to Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. It talks about those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I showed her that fear is the devil's faith. And it opens the door to the devil just like faith opens the door to God. And listen, folks, this is very real to me. Don't ever play games with this stuff. Don't ever play fear games with people. The devil is not playing games. I showed her where she had opened the door gently with the Word, just Hebrews chapter 2, that the fear of a thing puts a person in bondage to it. Just like faith in God opens the door for God to work, fear of something the enemy is saying to your mind or, you know, something, that's going to open the door to the enemy to bind. And the enemy has nothing good that you want. Nothing good that you want. So that's what opens the door. And I helped her to see that. That lady had, she was sincere. She just was blinded by the enemy, but she had a good heart. As soon as she saw it, I have never in all my ministry, Brother Don, seen somebody close that door that quick. She closed that door. I mean, I didn't even get to pray with her or anything. She just, bam, I see it, closed that door. She said, I see it. And she closed that door. And I think I retched over and said, repeat after me, fear, you're out of here, whatever. I didn't even do much. I just, and she was instantly freed. That she had, the cancer had been producing pain. And instantly the pain left. She was there, another week or so, and went back to her home, you know, and the doctors examined her again, and it was all gone. All the cancer's gone.
That's right.
Just that quick. Somebody said she had cancer. No, she had fear. The diagnosis was not cancer. The diagnosis was fear. Well, Pastor, I've heard you preach this before. That doesn't do you any good. Faith doesn't come by heard, it comes by hearing. Amen. Now, once the door was closed to what caused the manifestation of the disease to begin with, the resulting condition in the natural had nothing further to support it or sustain it, remaining there and died. I'm going to read that again. Once the door was closed to what caused the manifestation of the disease to begin with, talking about what caused the cancer to be there, the resulting condition in the natural realm had nothing further to support or sustain it remaining there, and so it died. That's called dealing with the root rather than just putting a Band-Aid on problems. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Back in Bible days, Jesus ministered what we call divine healing. That means ministered to people through what, and guess what? He does this the same way today. He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
He would address people's, what was in people's spirits. Unbelief, or what was trying to get in, fears trying to get in. He'd address unforgiveness. And he's ministering healing that way.
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes.
There's a cause. There's a root.
Yes.
Deal with the root, and there goes the fruit.
Yes.
Bye-bye, fruit. Because we killed the root. Amen. He healed through men's spirits. Amen. That meant he addressed and was addressing, going around addressing what had gotten into men's spirits in order to meet their physical need. This will work in all areas. This will work in finance. This will work in many different areas. Amen. Now, remember Proverbs 4:23? And the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Remember, my son, attend to my words, so forth and so on. Then he said, guard your heart. Amplified says, above all that you guard. Anybody lock your car out there in the parking lot? That's wise and smart. Anybody lock your house when you left? You a smart cookie. Right? Anybody guard your purse or your wallet or anything? He said, above all that you guard. People guard all those things and let their heart wide open. You know what I'm talking about? They're not guarding their heart. And then 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, Paul said, you are God's garden. So, guard your garden. In other words, Satan wants to plant his seeds in your heart, like fear. Because your heart's good in soil, good and fertile soil. And he wants to put something in there and grow it. And use your spirit to do it. I'm telling you, he's a crafty booger. He wants you to bring forth the harvest of that seed. Amen. And it's going to be something that you don't want. Something that'll get power over you. Give you, it'll take dominion over you rather than you taking dominion over it. You see, the strategy of fear is to rob you of your place of dominion. Bible said, neither give place to the devil. Place, let's say it this way, don't give your place of authority to the devil. That authority, that's your place. That's your in the spirit, that's your rightful place. Don't give that place to the enemy by yielding to fear. Amen. How many of you thank God for the Holy Spirit's ministry to help us to do this? Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, whenever he got Jairus started on his walk with God by faith, and Satan came with a strategy, with a bad report, to try to get him, lure him out of the walk of faith, and lure him over into fear. Jesus wheeled around and caught it and said, fear not. Jesus was being the author, he got him started in his walk of faith, and the finisher. Where would we be without the finisher? We would have fallen so many times, tripped up, given up, thrown in the towel, said that's it. Not going to that faith church anymore. It's too hard. You know what I'm talking about? Many times. If it wasn't for the finisher. Coming along and bringing something to us that's like, oh, yeah. Thank you. I almost fell for that one. Amen. Amen. And so really, he's in these verses, because Jairus is about ready to fall for fear, and he's getting his attention. Don't fall for that one. That's dangerous. It'll rob you of your faith. Fear is dangerous. But here's something that's more dangerous. The dullness that people live in that they don't recognize whenever they've made that switch. That one's hard on me. Because you try to help them and they're like, they're not seeing it and don't realize what they've done. And you know they keep going that path, Satan's taking them out. That's hard. Because you love people. You want to see God's best for them. You want to teach them to learn to fight and not fall for those things. Yes. Fight the good fight of faith. I don't mean fight the devil. I mean just don't go there anymore. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. So we've got to learn to recognize these things. Thank God for the Holy Spirit again. I'm just keep coming back to that. He'll help us recognize these things. Aren't you glad? And so, a lot of these things, like in Jairus' case, a lot of these things present themselves to us when we hear a bad report. You know what I'm talking about? If we fall for it when we hear a bad report, fall for fear or that strategy. See, fear wants to grab your mind and keep bombarding your mind with thoughts and keep you out of here, your spirit, answering it. Because if you heal, he can hold you in your mind, he can hold you out of faith.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, answers are here tonight. Spread out for us easily to get a hold of tonight. So that's why he wants to get us into fear, because it holds us, it locks us in our mind, you know, trying to figure out. See, worry, somebody said, what about worry? Worry is fear-based. God's been really dealing with me about that lately. It's just basically fear is what it is. So to get us across the finish line, we've got to not fall for that one. Amen. How many of you know if we're going to rule over the affairs of life, we can't have fear ruling over us? Just doesn't work that way. People don't understand the connection. If you don't understand what I'm saying there, just understand that it's a matter of faith. Faith is how we rule and reign. And fear is the opposite of that. If we're yielding to fear, we won't rule and reign. And there's other things, but this is just the one God put in my heart tonight. So guard your heart. Pay attention. Become more skilled. Get your mind renewed with the Word. Keep feeding on the Word. I mean, set aside other things, that are the entertainment or whatever, and just give all that time to the sharp two-edged sword that is a revealer of all these things, and makes you go, oh, got it. Anybody been there before? I've been there before. Thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Now, the reason fear is so deadly, and we're told in the Bible very clearly and firmly even, to reject it is because it's the devil's faith. It's really faith in reverse gear. Faith is the assurance of what God said, and therefore the confident expectation of it. Fear is the confident is the assurance of something the devil said, and it's the confident expectation of it coming to the pass. I've told you in the past, there's been, I think now, three times, if I remember right, that the finances of the church just all of a sudden took a nosedive. And I wasn't sure what was going on. All three times, it took me a while to catch what was going on. And what it was fear of some things that had happened in years past happening again, getting a hold of me. And I'm starting to expect the worst rather than expect the best. Just that simple.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And thank God for the Holy Ghost that helped me to see it. Because every time I'm like, okay, Lord, I know this isn't, this isn't you. It's not, you know, somewhere I've opened the door. And all three times, the third time, I actually kind of had a hint before he even had said anything to me. Because I'm getting this, you know. But all three times, he showed me where it was. I go, oh, I see it. Close that door. And you can do that. How many of you know you can do that? It doesn't take you an hour of laboring in prayer. You can just say, oh, I see what I did. I can make that switch.
Amen.
And I did it. And before God is my witness, you know, going to Lion's dangerous, you know. God is my witness. I think most of the time it was the next service, maybe if never beyond two services. Boom, there it hit all back again. Like it would start flowing like it was flowing. These things are very real to me. They're very real. Spiritual things are, every battle is spiritual at its core. You believe that? How many of you believe the bigger battle David fought when he fought Goliath was not Goliath, it was fear? Because the Bible said that they had been listening, except David wasn't, but they'd been listening for 40 days to him holler and scream about how he's going to feed the whole army to the birds. And the Bible said all of them, all the Israeli army, Saul included, their hearts failed them for fear. They had been listening to the report of the enemy for 40 days. No wonder. See, faith comes by hearing. So does fear, too. The enemy has nothing. He just perverts what God has and uses it against us. And so David had been feeding on the Word. He's out there and feeding his father's sheep, and he's meditating on the Word. He talked about that in Psalms, how he'd use those times to meditate in the Word. And so he had been building his faith. And when he encountered that fear, he had what it took.
Yes, sir.
to overcome it.
Yes.
And so he said, let no man, he said this in that passage first, what is it, 2 Samuel 17? Let no man's heart fail him because of that uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go out after him. Of course, King Saul's like, you can't do that. And he said, I'm not going in my own power, might. I'm going in the name of the Lord. In other words, I'm going in faith.
Amen.
And you go ask David when you get to heaven. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be proven right. David, what was the biggest challenge when you faced Goliath? He said, Goliath was a wimp. That's probably what he'll say. Goliath was a wimp. It was what came against me in the spirit realm. It's what came against me in the spirit realm. Amen. Fear. He ran at Goliath. That's the way you need to treat fear. Run at it. Run at it. Hallelujah. Oh, I might break out in a jig here in a bit. Praise God for the word. Satan can't just move in on you and my life unless we give place to him. Unless we give him consent. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Anybody recognizing any areas you can kick him out of tonight? So keep attending to the word. The word will reveal all this. You can just swear up and down. I mean, not that we're swearing people, but you know what I mean by that term. Swear up and down. Say, yeah, but Lord, it's not on my side. How many of you know the Lord has a way of showing you? Boom. Let me tell you a little secret ahead of time. It's not on his side. Absolutely not. The delay, the hindrance. Amen. I'm not saying that to put any of us down. I'm just simply saying it's good to know the truth. So maybe that help us get rid of some of the pride and, you know, shaking our fist or our finger in God's face. Say, God, you said you're not doing what you said. With tears streaming down his eyes, he'll want us to see what really is going on. So, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Are we getting anything tonight? Pay attention to what's going on inside of you. Pay attention to your thought life. Fear is a spirit. And it's always talking. It's talking to you. Amen. A lot of times it springs from threats because of circumstances or just a voice in the spirit realm. There is a spirit of fear. But fear is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Amen. And we're told, we're not in the word. We're not told to manage it. We're not told to tolerate it. We're not told to control it. We're told to answer it.
Yeah.
We're told to reject it. If we don't, it'll control us. Amen. We're not called to be controlled. We're not called. This is not the life he's provided for us, to be dominated and controlled by something. We're called to move things. We're called to move mountains. We're called to not be moved by other things, not be moved by fear, but to move mountains. And not to be controlled by spiritual things like fear and so forth, but we're to control it. And let me say this. A lot of people don't even believe this yet. I don't even know how many people of spirit of faith believe it all yet. Sometimes listening to people talk, I get amazed. It's like, in fact, I told Pastor Nancy the other day, I said, Pastor, maybe I need to do a better job. I said, I just sometimes get disappointed in people.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Doing a good job.
She said, it's just bad soil. Mm-hmm. I know what you preach.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, you preach that you can control things.
Yeah.
You can control circumstances.
Yeah.
You can control the outcome of things. That doesn't mean nothing comes up. That doesn't mean Satan doesn't bring anything to us. It's just that we have a say how it turns out. Hello? Yes. You can say no to those circumstances. But you can't control things if fear is controlling you. If fear is controlling you, it's like your feet keep slipping when you try to move something. It's like you're trying to move a car out of the ditch or out of the mud or snow or something, and your feet keep slipping. That's what fear is like. If you keep if fear keeps making your feet slip, you can't move mountains. Your faith can't move mountains. Amen. So, just tell your neighbor it doesn't have to be the way it's been. Amen. A lot of Christians still don't believe that you can control things. I do.
I do.
I do.
I have a say.
You do. You have a say.
Well,
you know, my aunt, she died of it, and my grandma, she died of it, and just runs in our family. See, that's just natural thinking. Natural thinking. Doesn't have a thing in the world to do with anything spiritual. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Fear is just simply thinking Satan's thoughts after him. How many of you know it's one thing for thoughts to come, but it's another thing to take them and start thinking them after him? Amen. We don't have to suck down everything that comes to our mind. Thank God for that. Amen. So we got to be diligent about these things. And these things are what control people's lives. I endeavor to get that across. It's not the disease, or it's not the lack of opportunity when it comes to finance or something. Those are not what controls people's lives.
There you go.
You understand? It's things in the spirit realm that controls people's lives. Amen. Well, everybody's real happy tonight, right? If Satan keeps bringing something to your mind, let's just take an example. You're going to die young. Anybody ever had him start to work on you in an area? Or you're going to fail financially. Or you're going to have to declare bankruptcy. Or there's something he keeps working on you on. I know something he's tried over the last couple of months with me. Just keeps trying to bring it back. And I keep answering it. Just keep answering it. We're learning how to answer, deal with the spirit that's talking. And that's what I've been doing. So, and he's left. But if he keeps bringing something to your mind, a fear, something's going to... See, fear is an expectation of something that is to come. It's going to be this way. You're going to fail. You're going to die young. You know, this or that or whatever. If he keeps bringing that to you, get a clue. It's been going on for months or years. Oh, you're going to do that? Get a clue. Ask him this question. You're going to do that? That's what you're going to do, huh? Oh, really? Oh, really? How's come you haven't done it?
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Come on now.
He keeps threatening to do it. Do you know if he could, he would? He wouldn't just talk. He'd go ahead and do it. Why, Mr. Devil? Get a clue. Ask him that question. You're going to do it? Oh, why haven't you already done it? Let me give you the answer to that question, because he doesn't like to answer that question. I'll give you the answer, because he can't.
He can't.
He can't. He can't just move in on you and my life. He can't do it. He's been defeated.
That's right.
Ha, ha, ha. He's just working on you to get you to open the door so he can. We're on to him. That's why he keeps threatening. I'm gonna. Oh, really? Why haven't you already done it? If the truth be known, he can't, and he's just trying to get you to open the door so he can. Job will tell you that. You get to heaven, Job will preach that to you. Let me teach you something that I know you're already here and don't need to hear, but I want to tell you anyhow. Job will go, I learned this lesson. The thing I greatly feared is what came on me. That was the devil's faith. It opened the door to the devil. Woo! We're on to him. Amen. So, you know, a man that, you know, he just, so to speak, is just running around addressing the issues that the root is causing. It's like a man weed whacking dandelions in the crack in his driveway, you know. He just keeps whacking it off and it keeps coming back up. Whacking it off, keeps coming back up. He's not addressing the root. This is a root addressing church. Some folks don't like to get down to the root, but this is not a weed whack church. Amen. I mean, if something is continuing to go a certain direction in people's life, we're giving them the answers to get to the root of what keeps pushing their life that direction. Oh, thank God. You ought to be pleased that you're not at a weed-whacking church. Amen. You find out what's really motivating you and stopping that thing in its tracks. But when a man keeps doing that, he's just running around addressing the fruit rather than addressing the root, which can be something like fear. And that's why they keep missing the mark. They're punching at this, and people are impressed at them because they're always saying, "Satan, you get out of my life. Satan." Well, why is it every Sunday, every Wednesday, it's always something? That's not the life God ordained for you.
Come on.
Let's get down and get the root out of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Are you hearing what you need to hear tonight?
Yes, sir.
Learn to be a person who enters into the spirit realm and operates against things there. Because that's really what's defeating them. And learn to recognize that. Everybody say, recognize. I'm recognizing it. Hallelujah. Don't get just good at recognizing the Holy Spirit's voice. Get good at recognizing the voice of fear. The Holy Spirit will help you with that. Don't misunderstand me. But you recognize that's fear. I was about to make a decision based on fear. Recognize those things. And I'll get more sleep. Amen. Come to Ann on Sunday and say, "I want to tell you a good testimony. I caught it myself." We're going to get little party hats out. We're going to get whistles and blow them. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. Yay! Yay! Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. We're talking about missing the mark, you know, missing the mark by just weed whacking problems and stuff, not getting to the root. Here's another way to miss the mark: talking to God about fear that's attacking you. You ever notice David never said a word to God about Goliath? He didn't talk to God about Goliath. He talked to Goliath. That's how you can miss the mark, talking to God. "I don't know, Lord, these thoughts keep coming to me, and I don't know, they just keep, you know, the devil saying this, and the devil saying that." I remember it was Charles Katz one time. He said he was going to God like that, and he said God one time got irritated at him. He said, "I wish you'd stop telling me everything the devil's saying.
Yes, 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 yes.
Why don't you tell me what I said?"
Yes.
He got it. How many of you know we can get it just listening to how God instructed him? Praise the Lord. So rather than going to God with everything the devil's saying, why don't you go to the devil and say, "In the name of Jesus, it's written, and I'm not listening to that anymore. Get behind me, Satan."
Amen.
It'll be as the way I say, and here's how I say. I say, "I live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." Hallelujah. I say, "God's not given me a spirit of fear." Amen. And fear motivates people to pray. "Oh, we got a bad report. Well, let's pray." Well, that's not going to be in faith because it's fear that motivated that. It's subtle, isn't it? But we're catching it. Thank God we're catching it. Hallelujah. 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 I have been around the block a few times. Not as far as many, you know, been around as many times as others. But these are things that I'm sharing out of my life, how that Satan has snuck up and grabbed my attention and trying to hold me out of faith. And if it can help you, I know it can. But take what the answers God gave me and get ahead of me. Just like Brother Hagin said, "If you don't go further than me, I'm going to kick you in the seat of the pants." He actually said that. Not to me, not me personally, but some of the people I worked with, they came to me individually at times and said, "Brother Hagin, yeah, that's what he said to us. I'm going to kick you in the seat of the pants." That's what my desire for you is to do.
Amen.
Pass me up.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a run for your money, but try. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Life is better when you're on to the devil. Life is better when you don't fall for it anymore. See, we preached on fear. This could be true about depression. It could be true about offense. It could be true about unforgiveness. You could take this in any direction and use it and put it, make the devil, you know, put it in the devil's pipe and make him smoke it. Put it in his potpourri candle and make him smell it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mr. Devil, have you had, when you get up tomorrow morning, Mr. Devil, have you had breakfast yet? No? Okay, I want to feed you Mark 11:23, all right? Here's your breakfast. Or if he's trying to say you're going to live, you know, you're not going to live long or something like this. Have you had breakfast yet? Here's your breakfast. I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Just feed it to him. Make him eat it. Eventually he'll choke and get out of there. Glory to God. And then for lunchtime, have you had lunch yet, Mr. Devil? Nope. Okay, let me give you a verse for lunch. Here, eat this. And then for dinner time, then get him up in the midnight for a midnight snack and say, Mr. Devil, had you had a midnight snack yet today?
That's right.
This is called dominion. Glory to God.